a production of South Dakota Public Broadcasting.
House Judiciary will now come to order. Welcome to those who are listening on the internet, and welcome to those who are in attendance today. A reminder, if you plan on testifying today, please sign in at the back. There's a podium by the door where you came in. If you're going to testify, please sign in there. Reminder to turn off all your cell phones or turn them on silent. And with that, I'll have the secretary call the roll.
Representatives Wink, here. Killer, here. Feinstein, here. Gibson, here. Hoffman, Magstead, here. Kopp, here. Erickson, here. Stevens, here. Johns, here. Hayek, here. Hansen, here. Gosh,
here.
Mr. Chairman, a quorum is present.
Thank you, Madam Secretary. And with that, I'd entertain a motion to approve the minutes. Moved by Representative Hansen, seconded by Representative Erickson. Those in favor of approving the minutes will say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, nay. Minutes are approved. Reminder also, if you have handouts for the committee, have them distributed by the pages. And speaking of pages, please come forward, turn the mic on, tell us who you are and what school you go to.
My name is Patience Lunday. I'm from the Coleman Egan High School.
All right, welcome. Thank you.
I'm Kaylin Nutledge, and I'm from Doland High School.
Thanks for being here. Today, we have a pretty aggressive agenda, but it's going to become less aggressive as we defer House Bills 1104 and 1105 to February 4th, a Monday. But I would ask if anybody is here from out of town who planned on testifying on those bills and would have a difficult time coming back on February 4th to testify, please raise your hand now and we'll allow you to give testimony on those bills. I don't see anybody raising their hand, so we will defer House Bills 1104 and 1105 to Monday, February 4th. And the first bill on our agenda is House Bill 1095. The prime sponsor of that bill is Representative Hoffman. He is not here at the moment, so we will delay testimony on that bill for now. And we will take up the bill below the line, House Bill 1073, an act to establish a procedure for the determination of the competency of a juvenile to proceed in a juvenile court matter. We did take testimony on this bill last Wednesday, and we did have questions from the committee. A question arose as to a possible amendment, and that has been worked out. So if we could have some information on that amendment, Mr. Satizan, if you would come forward, please, and talk about the amendment and what it does before we take any possible action on the same. Thank you, Mr. Satizan.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, Greg Satizan, legal counsel for the Unified Judicial System. As you recall, last week or earlier this week, we had a lot of discussion about this bill, and there was some concerns about the administration of psychotropic medication, and just to make sure that the juvenile's interest in due process and having that process complied with before the administration was protected. As a result of that, there's a proposed amendment, and Is it okay if I speak to the amendment, Mr. Chair?
Yes, please do.
What the amendment would do, in current law, there's a specific procedure for the administration of psychotropic drugs to a juvenile. It's in Chapter 27A-15. What this does is this juvenile competency proposal would just refer that process back to 27A-15. Rather than trying to invent a new process or build that into this, I think it's a lot cleaner, simpler, and provides due process protections that have been recognized through that chapter. So I think it's a pretty simple cleanup, but I think it addresses a very important concern that was raised last time.
Thank you, Mr. Satizan. Any further, if you would stay there just for 1 second, are there any further folks in the room who would like to testify on the proposed amendment? Has everybody had time to take a look at it and consider it? Ms. Ryder-Rapp, do you have a comment on the amendment?
Well,
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, Lindsay Ryder Rapp, registered lobbyist for the South Dakota Association of Criminal Defense Attorneys. We did work with the Unified Judicial System on this amendment and would support the language in it.
Thank you. Any further comments from the audience on the motion to, or not the motion, but the proposed amendment? Seeing none, any questions from the committee members of Ms. Ryder Rapp or Mr. Satizan on the amendment? Seeing none, any action?
Mr. Chair.
Representative Gibson.
I move to pass Amendment 1073JA.
Okay. Moved by Representative Gibson, seconded by Representative Killer. Comments on your motion?
I think this adds the necessary language to ensure that psychotropic medication will be used judiciously and not against our juveniles in this particular instance. Thank you.
Thank you. Any further comments? Seeing none, motion is to amend 1073JA. This will be a voice vote. Those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, nay. That motion carries. We are back on House Bill 1073JA as amended. Any comments and or action from the committee? Representative Wink.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I would move 1073JA as amended. Do pass.
Second.
That's moved by Representative Wink, seconded by Representative Hansen. Any comments on your motion?
Mr. Chairman, I think we discussed this quite a bit in the last meeting. I think our questions have been answered with this amendment, so I think it's good to go.
Thank you. Any further comments by the committee? Seeing none, those in favor of the 1073 as amended will say aye. Those opposed, nay. Secretary will call the roll.
Representatives Wink.
Aye.
Killer.
Aye.
Feinstein.
Aye.
Gibson.
Aye.
Hoffman. Magstead.
Aye.
Kopp.
Aye.
Erickson.
Aye.
Stevens.
Aye.
Johns.
Aye.
Hayek.
Aye.
Hansen.
Aye.
Gosch.
Aye.
Mr. Chairman, that's 12 ayes and one excused.
Thank you. 1073 will go to the floor as amended with a due pass recommendation. Representative Hoffman is still not here. We will move to House Bill 1096, an act to transfer on death deeds for real property. House Bill 1096. Mr. Barnett.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. Tom Barnett representing the State Bar.
Speaker Rave, do you have a comment for us? Are you trying to get our attention? Okay, thank you. Thanks for letting us know you're in the room.
May I proceed, Mr. Chairman?
Absolutely. Sorry about that. Go ahead.
Thank you. House Bill 1096 is a product or a bill that comes from the Uniform Laws Commission. It used to be referred to as NCUSL. The state of South Dakota has commissioners that represent our interests at that with that national organization. In a nutshell, this is a transfer on death deed. Existing in law already are transfers of personal property, such as bank accounts, stocks, so forth, which can be transferred upon the death of the owner without going necessitating a probate. Under existing law, you have to do a probate to transfer real property or a termination of life estate, depending on how the property is held. The idea behind 1096 is to simply allow a person during their lifetime, assuming that they're competent, to execute a deed that is not effective until they die, and after their death, it transfers the property to the designated beneficiary, and it avoids a probate. Under existing law right now, even without transfer on death instruments dealing with personalty, you can transfer personal property up to the sum of $50,000 without necessitating a probate. The idea behind this is to permit somebody, particularly, typically this would be somebody's home, and upon my death, I want my home to go to one of my children, or maybe all the children together, and I can do that deed, have it recorded, and then upon my death, it will automatically go to the person I've so designated, subject to any liens of record and so forth. I think I'll stop there, other than I have to mention a few things. We've found a few typographical errors, and I don't. That's not LRC's problem. My people sent it to me, and I sent it to them, and they had typos in it. I'll tell this. I'll make this really short. I tried to alert the chairman using a text message of one typo that says "enter vivos," and I kept trying to say type "inter vivos." And the lady that lives in my phone kept changing my word. And I finally gave up and went and found him and said, you know, the lady doesn't like me very well and she won't let me spell Latin. And I figured out the lady that lives in my phone isn't old enough to have taken Latin, and so she doesn't read it. In any event, there's another issue with the bill. Was Section 2 purports to allow you to execute a deed right now, today. And the last section says it's effective July 1st. So we're repealing or removing or proposing to remove Section 2 and leave the last section so that it's only applicable to deeds that are signed, executed after July 1st. That causes the need to renumber all the paragraphs and cross-references. So if the pages would...
Yeah, pages, please pass those out to the committee member.
Thank you. The other thing that I need to mention to you is I've been talking substantially this morning with representatives of DSS, and they have a little concerns about the time limit of when to assert a claim. Their concern is whether or not the person trying to transfer upon their death were receiving Medicaid payments. And different states have different lengths of time, and what we've agreed is to proceed with the bill today. DSS and I will confer, because assuming that you put this amendment on, it can't reach the floor until Tuesday. That gives us 4 days to try to iron out whatever change we may need to do and mutually agree upon. And with that, I'll be happy to answer any questions.
Thank you, Mr. Barnett. Any further proponents on House Bill 1096? Seeing none, any opponents on House Bill 1096? Any opponents? Seeing none, I'll close the committee to taking a public testimony, open it up to committee questions. Any questions by the committee of Mr. Barnett? Representative Feinstein?
No.
Okay, Representative Wink?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Mr. Barnett, can you come up? A question now, the tax deed for the individual could be assigned. Would it be possible to assign it to a trust, or by the very nature of trust, would that not be necessary, that you would already have maybe that house or that home in a trust to begin with, or could you assign it upon the death to be put that into a trust?
Mr. Chairman? The owner of the home could make the beneficiary under this a trust, yes. Or a church, or whatever. The other thing that I didn't mention, as long as they're alive, they could change their mind, too. They can change their mind, and because it could be 10 years before they're going to die, and the individual facts of their children may change, and they can change their mind.
Thank you. Any further questions? Representative Stevens.
Mr. Barnett.
Mr. Barnett, you may want to stay up there for just a minute.
Yes, sir.
Could you explain to me what the difference this is compared to a deed where someone deeds their property subject to a life estate? I mean, don't they accomplish really basically the same thing?
Mr. Sherman? I don't think so, Representative Stevens. You can, if you deed the property to a child reserving a life estate, it's not revocable. In other words, you can't change your mind later. This makes sure that under this formula, you can change your mind and undo it, and so.
That's basically the difference, is it allows them a chance to change your mind?
Yes. I would say that's the major difference between reserving a life estate and a reservation of life estate versus the transfer on death deed. Yes.
Reverend Stevens, any further follow-up?
Well, not on that particular thing. Could I just ask one other thing?
Sure.
Which is now Section 25. I mean, my partner, John Blackburn, was always pretty picky about the words that I use as far as that. And I'm just wondering if it really shouldn't say that we file at the county auditor and record in the register of deeds. And I think we've got that switched.
What line are we on?
Mr. Barnett, it'd be Section 26 currently of the bill, I believe. Are you talking about?
Yeah.
Mr. Representative, you're talking about Section 26 of the current bill?
Section 25 is where I happen to see it. In my understanding, you always filed something at the county auditor, and you record at the register of deeds. And this has it kind of flipped, right?
Mr. Barnett, go ahead.
I respect very much your partner, John, my good friend. We used the uniform language, but I don't have a problem if, in the wisdom, you think that it needs to say record instead of file. That's not a substantive change. I think everybody knows, but I leave that up to you in the committee.
Any further comments or questions from the committee? Representative Feinstein.
I guess I don't know if I want to reserve that for our debate or comments, or you want me to say it now.
It's not really. Go ahead. I think it's kind of a comment / question. Go ahead.
Okay. Well, I think we have a very good substantive change. This process, I'm a member of the State Bar's Real Property and Trust committee or section, and this has been vetted over two and a half, 3 years, I believe, and the committee approved it it was either September or December, and so it has had a process going through the bar. I think what also is happening, and I think I want to comment to Representative Stevens' question. The difference, too, in a life estate and here is there is a gift involved with a life estate, and there is a gift component and a residual benefit. There would not be any gift component here during life, and so that's a major change. I also wanted to point out, if people have questions on uniform laws, you can go to the Uniform Laws Commission's website. They have this act, and they have comments on every section and every part and how they came up with particular provisions. And one in particular, three of us were discussing last night in Section 21. It said something about revocating this with a revocable act. And we were going, what does that mean? And we went to the comments, and a revocable act, again, this is what the comment said. In a will, you can revoke it by ripping it, tearing it apart, throwing it away, shredding it. What this is saying, that's the revocable act they're talking about. So once this is recorded at the Register of Deeds, or filed, or whatever you want to call it, if you rip it up after, tough. You can revoke it. There are three ways to revoke it in going through the process. But those are the things that, when you get uniform laws, understand you can always look at the comments and answer a lot of questions. And these have been through a vetting process, and like I said, not only at the state, but they've been vetted at the National Commissioner Uniform Laws Commission and passed and approved by them and gone through huge processes.
Thank you, Representative. Any other questions by the committee? No. Seeing none, thank you, Mr. Barnett. At this point, I'd move to committee comments and or action. Sure. Representative Hansen.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I would move Amendment 1096JA.
Is there a second?
Second.
Moved by Representative Hansen, seconded by Representative Stevens. Any comments on that motion?
Mr. Chairman, I believe that Mr. Barnett explained it fairly well. Thank you.
Any other comments? Seeing none, those in favor of the motion will say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, nay. That motion carries. We are back on 1096 as amended.
Mr. Chairman, I have an additional amendment.
Representative Johns, have your page come up and distribute the amendment. While she's distributing it, go ahead and discuss your... You have a motion at this time?
As originally read...
Representative Johns, excuse me for a second. Are you making a formal motion at this time to move the amendment, or do you want to...
I will make a formal motion to move the amendment.
What's the title of the amendment? Or the 10...
1096. 1096 TA.
TA. Is there a second?
Second.
Go ahead and discuss that motion.
As Representative Feinstein indicated, there was some discussion on the language which would be found in Section 12 of the bill as originally written, which reads, after a transfer on death deed is recorded, it may not be revoked by a revocatory act on the deed. Some of us did have a question as to what constituted a revocatory act on the deed. The comments to the Uniform Act did read, quote, such an act including burning, tearing, canceling, obliterating, or destroying the deed or any part of the deed, end of quote. The amendment would be to add that language following the first sentence so that it would further explain what a revocatory act on the deed would be.
Okay, thank you. Mr. Barnett, would you care to comment on that?
The amendment's fine, Mr. Chairman.
Okay, he says the amendment is fine. Any other comments from the committee?
I have a question.
Go ahead, state your question.
I guess what I'm wondering is if you record a deed at the Register of Deeds.
Is your mic on?
Yes, it is. I'm sorry. If you record a deed in the Register of Deeds, so now that's public notice, then how, or maybe I've overlooked this on the deal, I'm sure Mr. Judge Johns here is going to fix me up. Okay, there it is. I've got my question answered.
Okay, very good. Any further comments on the motion, Representative Feinstein?
My comment on the motion, I'm going to direct it to our staff. And this also came up in part of our discussion. A lot of times, a judge will refer to legislative intent. Is there a way, when we have uniform laws that have comments, that we can incorporate them into our discussion and say we as a committee accept the comments from the Uniform Laws Commission as part of our discussion on the bill so we can be indicating to a judge that refer to those comments, which would probably, which may make this amendment unnecessary. I'm not objecting to the amendment, but I just wonder if on the whole we can do that, and is there a mechanism to?
Ruben, go ahead.
Answer to the question is yes, if you make it time specific. The problem with that is then you foreclose the courts from considering any new interpretations after the date that you make time specific unless you bring that up to date from time to time. So it's a catch-22 situation. Yes, you'd incorporate the existing comments, but you would be foreclosing the judge from looking at remodifications of those or interpretations of those that come after the date that you incorporate.
Okay. Any further comments on the motion to amend? Representative Feinstein.
Thank you. And I guess maybe I might allude to Representative Johns as a judge. When these acts maybe are before, or when provisions of these acts maybe are before a court, do the judges refer to the comments even though they're not specified? Would they, could they, and how would that apply?
Well, I don't think we need to go down that road at this point. Let's just deal with the motion. Any further comments on the motion itself to amend? Seeing none, those in favor of the motion will say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Those opposed, nay. 1096 is amended again. We're back on the bill as amended. Any further comments and or action on 1096 as amended? Representative Hansen.
Mr. Chairman, I move do pass as amended.
Second.
Moved by Representative Hansen, seconded by Representative Gibson. Any comments on your motion, Representative Hansen? Any further comments by the committee? Seeing none, those in favor of 1096 as amended will say aye. Those opposed, nay. Secretary will call the roll.
Representatives Wink.
Aye.
Killer.
Aye.
Feinstein.
Aye.
Gibson.
Aye.
Hoffman. Magstead?
Aye.
Kopp?
Aye.
Erickson?
Aye.
Stevens?
Aye.
Johns?
Aye.
Hayek?
Aye.
Hansen? Gosh.
Aye.
Mr. Chairman, that's 12 ayes and one excused.
12 ayes. House Bill 1096 as amended will go to the floor with a do pass recommendation. With that, we will move to House Bill 1097, an act to revise certain provisions relating to an employer's denial of workers' compensation claims. Proponent testimony in House Bill 1097. Mr. Barnett, welcome back.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, Tom Barnett, State Bar. House Bill 1097 identifies a small little glitch in the current statutory scheme that has to do with employees who are injured on the job. They can have health insurance over here, and if it's a job-related injury, you have the employer's work comp carrier cover it. On occasion, though, we have the problem where the health insurance carrier says, we don't have to cover that because that was work-related injury, so we don't have to pay. The work comp carrier is sitting there saying, we don't have to pay because we don't think it was work-related. So you have the healthcare people treating the injured person and not getting paid. In the meantime, they're billing the injured employee, ruining their credit, and we wait months in order to have it ultimately resolved. There's a principle in law called subrogation, and this is essentially what 1097 does. It says if the work comp carrier isn't going to cover it, health insurance needs to pay it now. Ultimately, if it's determined that the work comp carrier should have paid, they will be required under this bill and under the principle of subrogation to reimburse the health carrier. And we just close that up so that we close that loophole so that our hospitals and doctors get paid timely, and we protect the credit rating, and I should say peace of mind of the injured employee. And it's that simple, and I'll answer any questions if you have any.
Thank you, Mr. Barnett. Any further proponent testimony on House Bill 1097?
Morning, Chairman Gosch and members of the committee. I'm James Marsh, the Director of the Division of Labor and Management within the State Labor and Regulation Department. This is my 19th year of appearing before you. Our office regulates the workers' compensation system and our state's employment laws. DLR supports HB 1097 as a way to benefit employees while reducing the legal conflicts between workers' comp and other forms of insurance. The Governor's Workers' Compensation Advisory Council unanimously recommended it twice for those reasons. DLR encourages you to support the bill, and I'll remain available for questions.
Thank you, Mr. Marsh. Any further proponent testimony? Mr. Rao, welcome.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. Myron Rao, registered lobbyist for Dakota Truck Underwriters and First Dakota Indemnity, based in Sioux Falls. We just want to quickly say me too. We think this is a good piece of legislation. We hope you support it. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Rao. Thank you for keeping your comments on point and brief. Further proponent testimony, House Bill 1097. Mr. Owen.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Members of the committee, David Owen, South Dakota Chamber of Commerce and Industry. Thought I'd demonstrate that we in the Bar Association can get along. It's an inverse proportion to their activity. It seems like the more they do, the less we get along, but in this particular case, we're right in step with them. Actually, this has been part of a bill that we did tussle around about a bit. But when we went through that bill, everybody would get to this section and go, everybody okay with that? We'd all look around the room going, yeah, I don't think that's a problem. So it's incumbent upon us, I think, as good advocates to say, now that it's been separated on its own, we still don't have a problem. It's a good law. Thank you.
Thank you. And were you refereeing the other night at the basketball game?
How'd you feel about the reffing?
I just heard your name announced while I was working out at the Y, and I thought that you were refereeing the Pierre Aberdeen game.
Oh, no, sir.
That was not you.
No.
Okay.
I have gotten in between the Senate and the House on occasion, and I'm rethinking that.
Yeah, I remember some of those calls you made against the House. Questionable. Further proponent testimony, House Bill 1097. Further proponent testimony, seeing none. Any opponent testimony, House Bill 1097. Seeing none, we will close the committee to the taking of public testimony, open up to committee questions. Any questions from the committee? Representative Hayek. Well, we're at questions at this point. Any questions by the committee? Seeing none. Now, Representative Hayek. She moves due pass, seconded by Representative Kopp. Any comments on your motion, Representative Hayek?
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I am pleased to see this, and last year I was a little bit more involved in the previous bill, as Mr. Owens had mentioned, so I'm happy to be able to make this motion to pass and encourage your everyone to vote for it.
Thank you. Any further comments on the motion for due pass, House Bill 1097? Seeing none, those in favor of passing House Bill 1097 will vote aye. Those opposed, nay. Secretary will call the roll.
Representatives Wink?
Aye.
Killer?
Aye.
Feinstein?
Aye.
Gibson?
Aye.
Hoffman? Magstead?
Aye.
Kopp?
Aye.
Erickson?
Aye.
Stevens?
Aye.
Johns?
Aye.
Hayek?
Aye.
Hansen?
Aye.
Gosch?
Aye.
Mr. Chairman, that's 12 ayes and one excused.
House Bill 1097 will go to the floor of the due pass recommendation. Since we deferred the next two bills, and Representative Hoffman has not arrived yet for his bill, we will move on to House Bill 1106. And if I could ask one of the pages to go try to find Representative Hoffman and get an update for us. Just one second. I think he's in which committee? In which room? Hang on one second. Okay, I think she took off, Freddy. She must have. So we will move on to House Bill 1106, an act to revise certain limited liability company statutes. With that, we'll take proponent testimony, House Bill 1106. Welcome, Representative Lust.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. Always a pleasure to be in front of Judiciary. I bring to you House Bill 1106 today, and two of the members of your committee are on the Uniform Laws Commission, and as am I. I'm the senior legislator on that commission at this point. House Bill 1106 is a redo, is an update of the ULLCA, which is the Uniform Limited Liability Company Act. The act is, or this bill is affectionately known as REULCA amongst the commissioners. And what it does is it really, LLCs were first created in 1977 in our neighboring state of Wyoming. And since that time, they have spread throughout the country and really have become the entity of choice as business attorneys and others seek to form entities. They provide tremendous management flexibility and also have the tax benefits of a partnership and really are just a nice vehicle to fit and shape to your specific circumstance. I use them very, very frequently. And what 1106 does is periodically the Uniform Laws Commission looks at their products that they've created, and Uniform Limited Liability Company Act was created years ago, and the commission looks to update based on case law, based on experience, to determine if the product is still functional in the marketplace. And what we have as a result of the 2-year process it takes to pass an act through the commission is 1106. And it's very comprehensive in its changes. It really touches basically every aspect of LLC formation and operation. And I'm not going to go into the details of each of those areas of an LLC. Others may do that, but I would just give my seal of approval to the act, the process, and what it helps to do. You've heard me speak on the floor. Some of you have been around longer have heard me speak too often on the floor about the Trust Act and the where South Dakota is situated. It's similar with the limited liability companies. We have a very business-friendly limited liability company act, and part of that is the fact that it is uniform, that when a company looks to form in South Dakota, it knows that it's relying on statutes and from statutes come case law that have been adopted in other states, and it gives companies great comfort to know when they come here that we don't have a foreign law or many differences from the Uniform Act. So I do have an amendment that I would circulate, and we'll probably have another one on the floor concerning electronic filings. These are really brought at the behest of the Secretary of State to accommodate their move towards electronic filing. So I would ask at the appropriate time someone make that motion, and I will stand by for questions. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Leader Lust. Any further proponent testimony? House Bill 1106. Mr. Barnett.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. Tom Barnett, State Bar. House Bill 1106 certainly originated with the Uniform Laws Commission. It was vetted by our business law community. And our people all voted in favor of bringing this bill. I want to be brief, because if we were going to go through section by section, you'd have to get the corporate code about this thick, and we'd be paging through, and you wouldn't make it home tonight for dinner. South Dakota first passed we first created LLCs in 1993. The state bar did the study, decided that Wyoming was on the right track, and as soon as the IRS gave a favorable regulatory interpretation so that we knew that the tax benefits, it's like a subchapter S or a partnership, as Representative Lust said, so you avoid the corporate double taxation. That's when the state bar went to work. We drafted an LLC bill, and this legislature adopted it. 3 years later, the Uniform Laws Commission issued their uniform law, and it has been updated, and if you look at the code, you'll see a couple different updates, and as Representative Lust said, it was time to do that again. When the commission revisits the uniform laws, whether it be LLC or the many others, they have the experience of looking what happened in the various 50 jurisdictions, because all the states are represented, what court decisions came down to interpret, what areas were problematic, and they identify all those, and then they periodically bring a cleanup bill to address those issues. If you were to focus in on this, you'll see a few changes in definitions. That's for clarification. The other two things main things that 1106 does is facilitate mergers of entities into LLCs, and it also facilitates the importation, if you will, of foreign LLCs or other foreign entities that may not be technically an LLC under our law, but is in the jurisdiction of origin. And so this is, 1106 goes a long way to facilitate that. To the extent that other states pass 1106 or the equivalent, and we don't, and we wouldn't, then we lose our competitive edge. We want to stay competitive with all the other states. We also have, as Representative Lust said, some provisions that aren't in the uniform law, but are better for business development than the uniform law, and we've maintained those. But I just wanted to give you a quick background on the history of LLC. And I'll stand by for questions. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Barnett. Any further proponent testimony? House Bill 1106. Seeing none. Any opponent testimony? House Bill 1106. Seeing none. I'll close the committee to the taking of public testimony. House Bill 1106 is open up to questions. Any questions from the committee? Representative Wink.
If you could tell me when it would be in order, I do have an amendment.
Okay, not at this time. Any questions from the committee?
I do, Mr. Speaker.
Representative Hayek.
And I don't know whether it's Representative Lust or Mr. Barnett. And Mr. Barnett and I spoke about this on page 4, line 9. A bit curious with the sign. Previously, we've always traditionally said it means to identify a record by means of a signature mark or other symbol, and that's all been scratched with just the present intent to authenticate or adopt a record. I'm a little curious because sign has traditionally had that making your mark on a document, and why the change in that?
Representative Lust or Mr. Barnett?
Thank you for the question, Representative Hayek. I believe and I haven't had the chance to drill into the comments in this particular point, but I believe, and this has come up in other acts as well, I believe given the increase in proliferation of technology, the objective is to make the definition of sign as broad as possible, rather than try to delineate every single thing, whether it's a text message or an email or what have you, that could be used as a form of showing your authentication or agreement with the document. The belief is that by leaving it broad, you allow it to encompass all those forms of potential electronic means of signature.
Follow up?
Sure, go ahead.
I do, because the previous that's being scratched, a sign means to identify a record by means of a signature, mark, or other symbol with intent to authenticate. And I think what I'm doing is getting into kind of a historical issue in terms of, you know, documentation that has always been kind of a traditional signature, and that it seems broad to me. But that would be...
Yeah, I think it's broad by intent. I'm sorry, Mr. Chairman. It's broad by intent to encompass any means you may use to sign, as long as it indicates your intent to authenticate.
Okay. Any further questions by the committee? Do you have another follow-up?
Scratched.
No? Any further questions by the committee? Seeing none, thank you, Representative Lust. Close to committee questions at this point. Open up to committee discussion and or action. Representative Wink.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I don't have anything to distribute. It's just that I noticed on page 2 of line 23, it's simply a typo, and I would move that we delete entity and insert entity.
Thank you. Is there a second?
Second.
Does everybody understand the motion?
Yep.
Page 2, line 23, change the spelling of the current word. It's E-N-E-I-T-Y, which, as far as I know, is not a word, but change it to the word entity. Is that correct?
Correct.
Okay, those in favor of the motion will say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, nay. That motion carries. Any further motions, action at this time? Representative Hansen.
Mr. Chairman. I have an amendment to move 1106JA.
Is there a second?
Second.
Moved by Representative Hansen, seconded by Representative Killer. Comments on that motion?
It's been well explained. Thank you.
Any further comments on the motion to amend with 1106JA, as was discussed earlier by Representative Lust? Seeing none, those in favor of that motion will say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, nay. That motion carries. We are back on 1106 as amended. Any further comments and or action by the committee? Representative Feinstein.
Mr. Chair, thank you. I think one term that was thrown out in the discussion that I think non-lawyers may or may not understand, when Mr. Barnett talked about a foreign LLC, we're talking about non-South Dakota LLCs. We're not talking about necessarily international LLCs. It's a confusing term, but it means a domestic one would be South Dakota, foreign would be anybody outside our borders. But I just thought that clarity should be understood.
Thank you. Any further comments and or action by the committee? Representative Erickson, were you calling for the floor? Representative Hansen.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move do pass as amended.
That's moved by Representative Hansen, seconded by Representative Feinstein. Any comments on your motion?
No, thank you, Mr. Chair.
Any further comments by the committee? Seeing none, those in favor of the do pass motion as amended, do pass as amended, will say aye. Those opposed, nay. Secretary will call the roll.
Representatives Wink.
Aye.
Killer.
Aye.
Feinstein.
Aye.
Gibson.
Aye.
Hoffman. Magstead.
Aye.
Kopp.
Aye.
Erickson.
Aye.
Stevens.
Aye.
Johns.
Aye.
Hayek.
Aye.
Hansen.
Aye.
Gosch.
Aye.
Mr. Chairman, that's 12 ayes, 1 excused.
House Bill 1106 will go to the floor if they do pass recommendation as amended. That takes us to our last bill today, House Bill 1095. Representative Hoffman has given and expressed his intention to have this bill defeated. Is there anybody in the audience who wished to testify on that bill? If you do so, you could come forward and make your comments brief, because the prime sponsor has clearly expressed his intentions. Seeing none, I would entertain a motion by the committee. Representative Hansen.
Mr. Chairman, I move to table.
Is there a second? That's moved by Representative Hansen, seconded by Representative Wink. That's a non-debatable motion. Those in favor of the tabling motion will say aye. Those opposed, nay. The secretary will call the roll.
Representatives Wink.
Aye.
Killer.
Aye.
Feinstein.
Aye.
Gibson.
Aye.
Hoffman. Magstead.
Aye.
Kopp.
Aye.
Erickson.
Aye.
Stevens.
Aye.
Johns.
Aye.
Hayek.
Aye.
Hansen.
Aye.
Gosch.
Aye.
Mr. Chairman, that's 12 ayes, one excused.
House Bill 1095 is tabled. Thank you, members of the committee. Thank you for those who came and testified today. That concludes our agenda. I'd entertain a motion to adjourn. Moved by Representative Wink, seconded by Representative Hayek. Those in favor of adjourning will say aye. Those opposed, nay. We are adjourned.